Hi, welcome back to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Libby Denkman here for Larry Mantle for the day. Well, that string of pearls that Vice President Kamala Harris wore to the inauguration last week, that's not just any jewelry. It's a signature of her Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, the first sorority to be founded by Black women. Harris has been a member since she was a teenager at Howard University, and the thousands of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority sisters spread out across the nation are often referred to as Harris's secret weapon. Organizations like AKA can provide lifelong community and friendship to members for many years after college, and they are gaining a bigger platform than ever with the new vice president. So let's talk about the history and influence of historically Black sororities. Columnist Erica D. Smith with the LA Times recently published a piece called How Kamala Harris's decision to join a sorority helped her become vice president. And it inspired us to have this conversation on Air Talk today. So thank you for that, Erica, and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what inspired you to write about the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority and other Black sororities? And what are some of the top lines that you learned as somebody who yourself did not join a sorority for college?
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason I wanted to write about it is I just have so many friends who are AKAs, actually including my father's girlfriend. And so for the last, I don't know, however many months, first when, you know, vice president was on the campaign trail running for president, and then when she was selected as Biden's running mate, just, you know, the just complete excitement among every AKA I knew and at the prospect of her becoming vice president. And then, you know, when it happened, I knew there was going to be this, you know, massive celebration. But again, you know, because of the pandemic and because of what happened at the Capitol, people weren't able to gather in person. And so I wanted to write it just to talk about this really invisible kind of celebration. I say invisible to probably the masses of America, but not obviously to African Americans in this country, and particularly those who went to historically Black colleges. But I think for me, I learned quite a bit just about the history of Alpha Kappa Alpha and just how integral, you know, it was to her life and how she espouses the values of that sorority just in so much of what she does in her public policy. And I, you know, as somebody who's covered her for a few years, I was not aware of how intertwined those two things were. And so it was really interesting to do the reporting on that.
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't either, but I have seen some of her sorority sisters speaking about their experiences and out there sort of almost as official or unofficial surrogates for the vice president. And that's been a really fun thing to kind of get to know and get a window into that world. Also on the line with me is Shelby Baugney, who is the regional director of the far western region of Alpha Kappa Alpha, and that encompasses 9 states, including California. Welcome, Shelby. And first off, you yourself went to school with Vice President Harris. Am I right?
Yes. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. I did. We graduated in 1986 together from Howard.
So did you know the vice president? Do you keep in touch, or is it, you know, like a sorority sister is always a sorority sister? So you guys are linked forever.
Well, we are bound and linked forever to Kappa Alpha, and we did meet as freshmen at Howard, both being from California. At Howard, you would have all the clubs for each of the states, and so absolutely, yes, and, you know, we knew each other through school. In terms of spending time with her now, she's very busy, but when she has been on the West Coast, the Howard University Alumni Association, you know, has always hosted her and supported her. So we share many of the same experiences and many of the same friends. And I always love this picture that comes up for her that was, I think, it's on the cover of her book. And one of my dear friends who's now deceased, Gwen Whitfield, Dr. Gwen Whitfield, is on the cover with her. So they did a number of things when we were back at Howard in terms of activism. And we all sat in when I was there. So, you know, I have great and fond memories of Vice President Harris.
So there is a storied history with your sorority. Alpha Kappa Alpha counts members, including Rosa Parks, Coretta Scott King, Maya Angelou. I mean, it's incredible company. What draws people to this organization, and why do you think there have been so many incredibly successful women who claim membership?
Yeah, I Alpha Kappa Alpha has a long history in service. And you, you know, particularly starting on the campus of Howard University, this group of young women, undergraduates, founded the first Black Greek Letter organization, as you mentioned, and it's at the core of what we do is service. Our motto is service to all mankind. And so there was a need even back then, obviously, in the different communities for work to help women and those issues related to women. That is part of what we do. And I think the draw is being able to give back to the community and being able to make an impact to the community. You know, one of our very famous non-founders, but long, you know, early members of Alpha Kappa Alpha was Ida L. Jackson. And for Californians, that's a lot. She was the first Black educator to be credentialed in the state of California. She went on to charter a chapter, the first chapter in my region, the far western region, on the campus of UC Berkeley, Roe chapter. And she was one of our national presidents. Well, while a national president, she led the Mississippi Health Project. And so if you do, if you just look into some of the work and the service we provided to our communities and the women who have led that and are members of Alpha Kappa Alpha, I think it inspires today women like Rosalind Brewer, who is the CEO of a new company, but she was with Starbucks, and, you know, just the number of members that we have that are in every walk of life that, you know, at the heart of what we know we should be doing is offering service. And so I think that's why. And we also lean into scholarship and excellence. And so, you know, there is this way for us to develop young women to be their best. And we promote that and you know, really promote realizing your dreams. And so there's a lot of excellence. I mean, if you just look at our current international president, Dr. Glenda Glover, who was also the president of Tennessee State University, and, you know, she's an amazing woman and, you know, a trailblazer in many, many ways. And we have had so many before her, and, you know, we look to have more after her. But
sure, I have to break really quickly, but we're going to come back to the conversation and also bring back in Erica D. Smith with the Los Angeles Times. That's Shelby Bogney, regional director for the far western region of Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. Vice President Kamala Harris is among its members, its alumnus. And again, Erica D. Smith with the Los Angeles Times also on the line with me. Back in a minute here on Air Talk, we're talking about Black sororities. And if you are a member of a Black sorority or, you know, have a connection to one, please give us a call, 866-893-5722. I want to hear what makes them different than other Greek organizations, what draws people to them, what kind of benefits they add to your life. 866-893-5722. Back in a minute. Back with more Air Talk. I'm Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle today. Erica D. Smith with the Los Angeles Times. Talking about Black sororities, she wrote a great piece recently called How Kamala Harris's Decision to Join a Sorority Helped Her Become Vice President. And Erica, some of us who went to large universities and did not join Greek houses, but maybe spent some time at parties in the Greek system or have a certain idea about what a fraternity or sorority is all about, it doesn't seem to jive with what we're hearing about in terms of the service-oriented nature of these Black sororities, especially Alpha Kappa Alpha and the Divine Nine, the group of sororities founded at historically Black colleges. How are Black sororities different, and what makes them important in the Black community?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't go to a historically Black university either. And so, you know, on the campus where I went, there were both both Black fraternities and sororities and also your, you know, your mainstream sororities and fraternities. And they are completely different. I think that, you know, it's important to remember that the vast majority or almost all of the Divine Nine were founded in the early 1900s, you know, not long after slavery, at a time of, you know, truly rampant racism, where Black folks were kept out of, you know, society. And so these fraternities and sororities were founded as a way of, you know, bringing, you know, Black people together and connecting people and building on what we had. And Shelby can feel free to jump in, correct me if I'm wrong. But I think that, you know, basically they were founded with a purpose, and the purpose was helping the community, and specifically the Black community, and building and working together. And I think that mission is reflected, you know, to this day, in that where in, you know, other sororities and fraternities, Greek houses were founded for various different reasons. And that's why you kind of see the partying. Not that historically Black fraternities and sororities are not known for parties as well, at least on the campus where I went. But, you know, it's a different kind of party, and the purpose, I think, is different. And it is lifelong, as you mentioned.
Sure. And I know we're going to get emails and some conversation from people who are in other types of Greek houses. And I know that there is a service mission in most houses. I do think that the place in society that Black sororities hold is just a special thing. And it's a different type of dynamic. And that's why we're having this conversation. And Erica, talk to me about the role that the sorority and your reporting and your writing you found played in Kamala Harris's career trajectory. You know, is it a chicken or egg thing where ambitious women are drawn to Alpha Kappa Alpha, or is it you're sort of put on a trajectory to succeed through Alpha Kappa Alpha?
I think it's probably a bit of both. I mean, I think to pledge and to go through the entire process and become an AKA, I think you have to have some sense of, you know, upward trajectory and purpose, and, you know, wanting to do something, you know, beyond yourself. So I think that it does draw those types of people, as I think just people who want to pledge, I mean, in a Black sorority, that's, or fraternity, I think that's often true, but particularly true, I think, with AKAs. But I think that, you know, going through the process and having the bonds with, you know, other successful Black women and being steeped in that culture, particularly at Howard University, which, you know, is just, you know, an amazing institution and it has turned out, you know, a huge number of Black leaders. I think that just kind of normalized the idea of excellence. And I think that's kind of what you saw. I mean, you know, the vice president in her time in politics has broken so many barriers, not just in California, now nationally. I mean, it's, you know, she's only in her 50s. It's very likely that she'll break more. So, you know, I think that it's just the overall sense of what AK is about. It's reflected in her, and I think that she reflects it.
Hmm. Erica D. Smith with the Los Angeles Times. Shelby Bogney is also with me with Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority. Same question to you, Shelby. The trajectory of somebody who is pledging to Alpha Kappa Alpha, is there a certain selection process that really pulls out kind of the cream of the crop, or is this a something that happens within the sorority where you are really pushed to achieve?
Great. That's a good question. Yes, we have criteria because membership is by invitation only. And the set of criteria is based on scholarship and your ability to excel academically, and then combined with your community service, which is key to being selected as well. And so, yes. And then if you come in, we also have an initiation process for those who have already are already graduates. And so, you know, as Erica mentioned through our discussion, you know, and she knows this, we are lifelong. We don't just stop at the undergraduate level. And we have admission in both ways. And it is about a set of criteria. So we draw in definitely on the graduate level, many accomplished women already, but we do also have a mechanism to, you know, sort of instill greatness and scholarship and achievement.
Shelby Bogney is the regional director for the Far West region of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority. Erica D. Smith also joined me for the Los Angeles Times, and she wrote how Kamala Harris's decisions to join a sorority helped her become vice president in the Times. Check that out. And she tweets at Erica with a K underscore D underscore Smith. Thank you to both my guests for this segment talking about the role of historically Black sororities and Kamala Harris's path to the vice presidency. I'm Libby Dankman, in for Larry Mantle today. Thank you so much for sticking with us while Larry is away, just taking the day off. Coming up, it's Fresh Air with Terry Gross, and they're talking about the increasingly sophisticated surveillance technology employed by local police departments. Stay with us right here on 89.3 KPCC.